office. 104.5
The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Sportless Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. The coach is out today. I want to give you a little heads up. Due to volunteer men's basketball coverage, we will be signing off at 10:30 today. So make sure you stay here for the pregame coverage for volunteer men's basketball. That will be at 10:30. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, will be with us for the first hour. And then we're going to have Trevecca men's basketball coach Omar Mance will be talking to us about the exciting things going on over at Trevecca. Also a former Vanderbilt assistant, LSU player. He's going to kind of talk to us about the SEC season closing down. Then the last two segments, or the first two segments of the first hour, Billy the Legend Justice will be with us talking college basketball. And again, we will be signing off at 10:30. So wanted to give you a heads up on that. Again, the coach is out of town today, but as usual, we've got Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, on the line. Mr. Barnhart, good morning.
Tate, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, my friend. Raining a lot here. Are you getting the same kind of weather we're getting?
Oh, it's brutal. It is brutal. Somebody said, you know, if I ever see the sun, I will not complain again about it ever being hot. And you'll learn this, Tate, as you get older. You become an even bigger wimp when it comes to cold weather. So,
No, I've already learned it. I could, if I could wear shorts 365 days a year, I would. So, but they're calling for sun tomorrow.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Yes, sir.
Not sure I'd recognize it, but I'd love to see it.
Well, spring practice is coming up, but let's get to some coaching news before that. One kind of close to home, or real close to home. Derek Mason got a contract extension at Vanderbilt. You know, I think this was a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, I've been to Vanderbilt, I think, every spring and summer since Coach Mason has been there, and have a chance to sort of talk with him a lot about where the program's going. There have been some disappointments, but there have been a bunch of highs. I mean, beating Tennessee 3 years in a row, I mean, it was the 20s when that happened. The offense, the all-time leading passer, Kyle Shermer, and the all-time leading rusher, Raph Webb, have both happened under his watch and that of Andy Ludwig. So, yes, this was are they where they want to be? No, but they are very, very, very competitive. And what is it, two bowls out of the last 3 years, something like that?
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we miss Dr. Williams. He's gone, but I am sure I can see his I can see his fingerprints on this.
When you're out and about, you know, and you're doing your tours and things like that, you know, what's the impression of him you get from the other coaches, from the other programs? I mean, you know, like you said, there was a time, third straight year to beat Tennessee. I think the last time they did that was 1920s. I mean, yep. Is the job that he's doing, is it as respected as it should be?
Oh, I think it is. The coaches will tell you that's really a tough. You got a 30,000 plus seat stadium, 40,000, whatever it is, that needs a lot of work. All right, you've got you're sort of, because of the academic situations, you recruit in a smaller pool. There's so many things that make that job difficult. So particularly the coaches who coach at these places where they've got, you know, unlimited resources and on, they respect, because the bottom line with Vanderbilt, it was this way under Bobby Johnson, who I thought was a great coach. Vanderbilt, for the most part, is not going to beat themselves. You got to beat them. They're going to make you beat them, and they're going to play the kind of football that gives them a chance to win. Now, some days, guess what? The other team just has a lot more talent, and they're just flat better, and that's going to happen at Vanderbilt. But when the talent is in the same ballpark, I think they've done a really good job.
And you got to think that with the contract extension, it's got to help in recruiting too. Every year he's going to go back out to the West Coast, whatever. I don't think he is, but I would think that helps in recruiting.
No, there's no question about it. It's stability. That the word is stability. Is the program stable? Is he going to be there for a while? Things of that nature. Because yeah, if you go out recruiting and your head coach is working on a 1-year contract or a 2-year contract, you know, that's tough. It's a tough sell. So yes, it absolutely helps in recruiting.
Major Applewhite is coming back to Alabama. This time he will be an analyst. Was what, Saban's offense coordinator in 2007, was fired last December as Houston's head coach. You know, what does that bring to the staff in the analyst role? Obviously, he knows him. He's been there with him. He's obviously a very good offensive football coach. How does that help? What do you think?
Another set of eyes in the coaching room, and somebody that he can call upon. And so, you know, Nick Saban has one of the things that makes him the greatest coach of all time is he was the first guy who said, you know, let's look at the rules. The rules say I can hire only 10 on the field coaches to go recruiting, but there is no rule that says I can't hire consultants and I can't hire analysts. And so what Nick Saban has been able to do is bring these guys who have been, you know, fired, whatever reason, they're looking for jobs. I mean, Major Applewhite's got a track record. And here's a guy that if you make a change at offensive coordinator somewhere along the way, guess what? You can just slide him right in. And it's like having your own taxi squad of coaches.
Is his goal to be a head coach again? I would assume it is.
I haven't talked to Major, but listen, Tate, we've been around this game long enough. Once you've been a head coach, there's nothing like it. Okay, there is nothing like it. And I haven't met too many head coaches in my life who have been let go and who are still young who say, well, no, I don't want to be a head coach again. That's just too much work. No, you like being the guy. In most competitors, and Major White was a great competitor as a player than as a coach, most guys want the rush. They want the challenge. They want the control. And so, I haven't talked to Major Applewhite, but I would, based on experience, he absolutely wants to be a head coach again.
When you were mentioning about the stability of the contract extension with Derek Mason, I don't know. I know normally you and Coach talk SEC, ACC, but did you see the article about Tom Herman and what he's doing with his assistant coaches?
I did not. What did it say?
Well, he's signing them all to 1-year contracts, and the reason he gave is he doesn't want anyone getting comfortable. Seriously, what do you think of that? I can't imagine that being. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a nice theory. I mean, it's a nice, and in theory, you don't want it, people getting comfortable. But the first time you get a coordinator that you really, 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 really like and you think is really good, and another Big 12 school offers him a 3-year deal instead of a 1-year deal at the same money, and he leaves, well, that theory doesn't look so smart now, does it? So I think keeping people hungry is a function of the head coach, okay? The head coach is supposed to keep this, and if the guys aren't hungry, well, there is a way to solve that problem. You can let them go and bring somebody else in. But listen, the coaching has changed. I think one of the biggest things I've seen is not that these head coaches are making $6 and $7 million a year. It's the fact that defensive coordinators are making $2.5 million a year. That's been the biggest change. Because once you get one of these coordinators on either side of the ball, you're going to move heaven and earth to keep them because the head coach relies on them. So, listen, Dave, the classic example, LSU, Dave Aranda. Dave Aranda is one of the best defensive coordinators in all of college football. That's why LSU hired him, all right? And they're rocking along, and Ed Orgeron loves the guy because he knows defense. Then one morning, Dave Aranda gets a call from Jimbo Fisher saying, what are you making? And he told him, he said, well, I'll pay you $2.5 million to come to Texas A&M. Well, guess what? The only way to keep Dave Aranda was to pay him $2.5 million and make him the highest paid coordinator in the country. That is how valuable guys like that are.
Speaking of that, Kentucky offense coordinator Eddie Grand, he signed a new 3-year deal that will pay $875 this year, $900 next year, $925 the following. Now, you compare that to what you were just speaking of, right? Big difference. But that goes to show, for those that are wondering, is Kentucky committed to keeping this thing going, right? I would guess that they've never paid a coordinator that much, have they?
Not even close. Not even close. And also understand it's offense defense. If you put together a chart, the top defensive guys are making significantly more money than the top offensive guys. And I think Coach Matthews and I talked about that about a week ago, because those, you know what, if you can just let a guy coach your defense and not have to worry about it, that is a incredible tool. But Eddie Grand, Kentucky's offense changed dramatically in terms of its productivity when Mark Stoops brought in Eddie Grand from Cincinnati. Eddie Grand's got a great track record of working with offenses, and they just, you know, Kentucky got a lot better. And Kentucky's never paid anything close to this, but for offensive guys, this is the $900,000 is at the high end.
Yeah, and I think that's good for them, you know, because it's been said they don't, right? They're not taking it as serious as the others, and they are. And so I like it. I think what they're doing is fun. I think it's good for everybody else when they're good like this, right? It's good for everybody else when Vanderbilt's good like this. So, good for him. He's kind of done it the right way, too. Coach Grand, excuse me. He's really rose up the ranks kind of the right way. He didn't get it all too early, right? So I think he's got a very stable foundation where he is.
And he's going to be a head coach at some point. And I know that he wants to be a head coach, but he's in a good situation at Kentucky. But I think somebody's going to look at what he's done, what he did with that offense and Benny Snell and, you know, play calling in the clutch and say, and somebody's going to hire this guy as a coach, head coach.
Speaking of head coaches, Tony, when we come back, let's talk about the old ball coach and what he's doing right now. You good with that?
That sounds good.
We'll be right back with Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone.
Serious injury? Well, that's serious business, and no one takes it more seriously than Cody Allison and Associates. For nearly two decades, representing clients in truck accident, auto accident, and workers' compensation cases, returning clients' calls the same day or early the next day, keeping their clients informed, well, that's the Cody Allison way. Communication with clients about the status of their case? That's the Cody Allison way. Simply pick up the phone and call 615-234-6000, also online at CodyAllison.com.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo! Yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, that's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports. Here in Nashville, folks know that we have been providing late model import automobiles for over 25 years. And the one thing everyone wants to know is where to have their car serviced. We now have a service facility that we're excited to be opening in downtown Franklin at the corner of Hillsborough Road and Highway 96, where we'll be able to provide maintenance all the way up to engine and transmission repair. And our auto spa can take care of detailing and any cosmetic repairs. Find us at Bellmead, Cool Springs, and now Franklin, and at GlobalMotorsportsInc.com.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or post-game snack. Enjoy a Hebrew National Chili Dog, barbecue bacon cheeseburger, crispy homemade onion rings, dog bowl nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tully Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Welcome back to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach who's out of town. Want to remind you, if you're just now tuning in, due to Vol basketball coverage, we'll be signing off at 10:30. Mr. College Football will be with us the next two segments. Omar Mance, Trevecca Basketball, will be joining us. And then the two segments in the 10 o'clock hour will be Billy the Legend Justice. Back with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. Tony, Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, if you were wondering if he still had it, the Alliance of American Football enters week 3. The old ball coach is 2-0.
He's 2-0 and having a blast. I talked to him right before their first game a couple of weeks ago, and he was having a ball. I talked to his wife, Jerry Spurrier, and she said they had missed players and being a part of a team. So yeah, he's 2-0, and I don't know if you had a chance to see any of this Alliance of American Football tape, but it's a good brand of football. When you watch these teams play, you will see a lot of names that you recognize, because a lot of these guys, most of these guys have either didn't quite make it to an NFL roster, or have been on an NFL roster and got cut last year. These are guys who are still relatively young and still trying to make it back to the league. And it's a fun brand of football to watch.
When you talk to him, what is it about it that he likes? Just he loves coaching, or maybe not as much pressure.
Only 4 months a year job, so I got to do. Got to work 4 months a year, and that's it. Don't have to go recruiting. Got somebody else get players. All I got to do is call and coach them up. So that's what he likes about it. You know, first of all, there's no recruiting. All right, let's start there. Second of all, it is literally a 4 month job. You go to training camp for a month. You play 10 games. If you make, there are 8 teams, two in each division. If you make the playoffs, then that's 2 more weeks if you win, and then you're done. Okay, and the guys who are players, they get done in mid-April, and they get a chance to maybe go and make an NFL roster, and Coach Spurrier can go do whatever he wants to do.
On the same note, Rick Neuheisel, he's the head coach of the Arizona Hotshots. He's 2-0.
He's 2-0, and think about Rick. Rick loves the challenge of calling plays and managing games to see what works. He's much too young. I forget what Rick is, but Rick's in his 50s, I think. He's much too young to be out of coaching if he still wants to do it. So, obviously, great offensive mind. And so, yeah, he's 2-0 for the Arizona Hotshots. Let's see. What they do, for the folks who aren't aware, is there's 8 teams, 4 games every week, 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. And Arizona is at Salt Lake today, and Memphis is at Orlando today. And they're on a bunch of different networks. The NFL Network carries a game every week or two. The CBS Sports Network, not big CBS, but the cable version of CBS, they carry a game or two every week. So it's just the people I've talked to, it's been good feedback.
Crowds have been decent. Do you see that continuing throughout the whole regular season?
Particularly for the teams that are winning. Orlando in the first game, which Spurrier had, I think, in the mid-20s. And Coach Spurrier told me if they could get 20 to 25, they'd be happy with that. And I think those are pretty good crowds. It's funny. I'm a sort of a YouTube junkie because there's so much interesting history. Sports history on YouTube, and I went back and looked at the old AFL when they got found. There was nobody in the stands for the old AFL when they got started in the 60s. I mean, literally nobody, just a smattering of folks. So to draw 20, 25,000 a game in the first year when it's all new, that's pretty good.
Speaking of pro football, the NFL Combine starts this week, February 26th through March the 9th. Players invited by conference breakdown. No surprise here, but maybe the gap between one and two. SEC, 90 players. Big Ten, 53. ACC, 46. Pac-12, 39. Big Ten, 33. What do you take from that?
Well, it's funny. I keep all of my friends in other parts of the country just get said, yeah, that SEC is really overrated. I mean, you guys play these soft schedules and you don't go on the road to play tough on and on and on. And then who gets the most players drafted every year? Who gets the most players invited to the combine? So, what it tells you, there is a reason that the SEC is the best conference in college football. They've got more good players than anybody else. It ain't complicated. And listen, this is the classic example. The pros, this is a business to them, okay? They don't invite you to the combine because they like you.
Right.
Or because, it's not like you get nominated. They invite you to the combine because they believe you have potential and they want to look at you.
You there, Tony? Okay, you're back.
I'm right here.
Sorry,
right
you here. You went out a little bit. You said they don't invite you. Basically, what you're saying is they don't invite somebody from Vanderbilt because they're a Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah, they get invited because this is a business. They think you have the potential to help an NFL team. And when a conference gets 37 more players than another conference, that tells you something.
So, no surprise here, but out of the 90, Alabama leads the way with 11, Georgia 9, tied for second with 9. I guess the two most surprising things on this list, I think you all have mentioned the Tennessee thing before, but probably to me the most surprising, Alabama's 11, Georgia's 9, Ole Miss has 9.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee with 0. That's amazing. But Ole Miss with 9.
Yeah, and that was that great recruiting class that was both great and controversial, all right? Those guys that stuck around to be seniors, a bunch of – Greg Little. I mean, a bunch of those guys could flat play. So.
Well, and then when you're talking of all those guys, you go back to Kentucky, the success that they've had and the recruiting that they've done such a great job. I love seeing stories like that. Josh Allen, defensive end, predicted number 2.
Yeah, Josh, I had a chance to visit with Josh Allen during the course of the season, and just one of the great stories, if you like stories about college football, and I do, one of the great stories of college football, he got one scholarship offer, and that was from Monmouth because it was like 30 minutes from his house, okay? Monmouth, that was it. And then he came across Kentucky's radar, and they watched him play in high school. And I forget which coach it was who saw him. He said, "Coach, we have got to take a chance on this guy. He's not big and strong as he needs to be, but he's got an incredible motor." And so they brought him in, and he dedicated himself for 4 years to changing his body and becoming a dominant player. And it's just an incredible story. And now if he gets picked in the top 5, and almost everybody has him in the top 5 of the draft, he's going to get $20-30 million guaranteed. I mean, it's just an incredible story.
It really is. And I'm glad you told that, because we live in a world of, well, who else has offered you, right? So you're right.
Monmouth.
Oh, okay.
I got an offer from Monmouth.
All the SEC offers started rolling. When he tweeted, "Blessed and honored to receive an offer from Monmouth University," that's when they started rolling in, right?
Exactly. Now, we got to go get this guy. And if you talk to the coaches around this league, who was the one guy they just had a tough time blocking week after week after week? It was Josh Allen. He said, "There is just no way to block this guy." And so edge rushers in the NFL are very, very valuable people to have. This guy is, if he stays healthy, always knock on wood, he's going to be a great one.
It will, and you've got projected first-round picks from the SEC. This is according to CBSSports.com. Here's the thing I think is neat. The first eight on this list, two through 13, are either defensive linemen, defensive players, or offensive linemen, the first eight. So, you know, we think about quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs and all that. I think that kind of is a picture of where the best defensive players, especially front seven and then the offensive linemen, they're in the SEC.
Every time a new coach comes into this conference, after he's played his first year, I will go back during spring practice, and I will always ask them, I've done it with every coach, what was the number one thing you learned about coaching in the SEC your first year of doing it? He said, easy. It is a line of scrimmage league. If you don't have dominant players on both lines of scrimmage, it is going to be really, really hard for you to win a bunch of games. You'll win some games by, you know, spreading them out and, you know, doing all these other things and trying to formation people to death. But if you think you're going to compete for any kind of a championship, if you're not really good on the line of scrimmage, it is not going to happen. The draft tells you that. I mean, we just talked about Josh Allen. Quinnen Williams at Alabama was literally unblockable. You got a couple of guys like Devin White, a linebacker, Greedy Williams, a cornerback. Greedy Williams, great, great player. But then you go Jonah Williams, offensive tackle, Juwan Taylor, offensive tackle, Montez Sweat. I wrote that down. He's obviously a defensive tackle. Ja'Kai Polite, defensive end. I mean, these are the guys, Tate, that when you talk to other people and they say, well, what's the difference in the SEC and the other conferences? If the SEC is better, then what's the difference? It's not quarterbacks. It's not running backs or wide receivers, because everybody's got running backs and wide receivers and quarterbacks. What the SEC has in great supply that the pros want is guys on the line of scrimmage who are big, who are athletic, and who can run. There are more of those guys, for whatever reason, there are more of those guys in the South than anywhere in America, and a bunch of them go to the SEC.
Without a doubt. Hey, Tony, when we come back, we'll talk SEC Media Days. You're listening to Forklift System Sports Saturday right here on 104.5 The Zone. We'll be right back with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart.
This February, it's all about the love from Walker Chevrolet. For over 90 years, Walker Chevrolet has been making customers number one. Walker Chevrolet has the all-new Silverado LT starting at $39,752. If you love SUVs, Walker Chevrolet is your Cupid. 2019 Equinox starting at $23,145. At Walker Chevrolet, it's all about the love they have for their customers. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number, KC110941. Equinox offer stock number, KL201689.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy furniture galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Stover's Liquidation's crushing it with great deals like luxury vinyl plank, 100% waterproof, many styles, all for just 69 cents per square foot. Solid hickory saddle, just $3.59 a square foot. Nobody stocks more plank look porcelain tile than Stover's Liquidation. Hundreds of selections, just 99 cents per square foot, and a huge selection of porcelain tile, just 69 cents a square foot every day. So visit Stover's Liquidation, 12966 Old Hickory Boulevard, Antioch, or online at stoversliquidation.com. Stover's.
Forklift System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Stroud's Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Stroud's location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Welcome back to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. We've got Mr. College Football for another segment with us. Tony, SEC Media Day has been scheduled Monday, July the 15th through July Thursday, July the 18th, Hoover, Alabama. Monday, July 15th, starting off with Dan Mullen, Ed Ogeron, Barry Odom. I wish I could have scheduled this because I would have put Barry Odom and Jeremy Pruitt back-to-back.
Absolutely back-to-back. That would
have been awesome. So they'd have,
put them in the green room together while they're waiting to come on. So,
but Barry Odom's a pretty big dude, right?
He's more of a spark plug guy. Okay, gotcha. He's an old linebacker, and so yeah. The interesting thing about media days is we had in Atlanta last year, and of course I'm not totally objective. I love having it in Atlanta because it was a home game for me, but I thought it added a lot of, you know, pizzazz and stuff like that. But they did promise to go back to Hoover. I don't know what's going to happen after that. But you look at the lineup, Dan Mullen, having Dan Mullen the first day is good because he had a, you know, he goes 10-3, has a real, really good year. Really did more than I thought they could do their first year. But yeah, to have those three guys, Ed Ogeron is always good. And of course, you know, Tate, we in the media, we view this schedule as, how's it going to entertain us? Okay,
right.
It's because it's about us. All right, it's not, isn't it? And so that I like that first day.
And then on Tuesday, Kirby Smart, Matt Luke, Jeremy Pruitt, Jimbo Fisher. That's a good lineup. With the people that schedule this, what is the thought process going into this? Do you know?
I've never asked them specifically, but having been a part of it for a long, long time, you do want to mix in the high profile programs, the programs on the rise, having Kirby Smart and Jimbo Fisher on the same day. I think that's good. And just look at it. They break when, particularly when they have four coaches in one day, they break it up into morning and afternoon sessions. So it's a pretty good bet that Kirby Smart will be in one session and Jimbo Fisher will be in the other session. But yeah, what they want to do is spread the programs out. Like for example, Alabama on the third day. That's on the same day with Will Muschamp, and they just want. You think of it in terms, Tate, in terms of storylines and interesting storylines, and you want to spread those out among the 4 days. And getaway day is Gus Malzahn, Mark Stoops, and Derek Mason.
Wednesday is they start off. Well, I guess this is in chronological order, but Wednesday starts off Coach Saban, Nick Saban, Chad Morris of Arkansas, Joe Moorhead, Mississippi State, Will Muschamp, South Carolina, and then Thursday they finish up with Malzahn from Auburn, Mark Stoops, Kentucky, and Mason from Vanderbilt. So,
and I just hope that Coach Mason is not the last coach to talk of the day, because the last coach invariably is talking to a half empty room.
That's never good,
because by the time we get to Thursday, we have heard it for 3.5 days. You have heard, well, you know, we're just happy to be here, and you know, if a few things go well, we've got a chance, but we just want to get better every single day. By the time you get to Thursday, you are tired of hearing it. So the poor Feinbaum, who does his show live from Media Days, when we get to the last day and the last coach and the last coach is finished, they keep a chart on who's going to be the last person to leave the media room, the main media room where all the writers are.
You got to put a pot together, and that way there's some incentive.
I think they always honor the very last person, because it invariably is going to be somebody like Cecil Hurt from the Tuscaloosa News, a dedicated, long-time guy. But, yeah, again, I hope Coach Mason is not the last one, because, yeah, the last coach on the last day, you got a bunch of writers and broadcaster who just ready to get the heck out of there.
Scheduling news. Alabama has announced a home-and-home deal to play West Virginia. The Crimson Tide will go to Morgantown 2026, then host in 2027. Coach Saban will be 74 if he's still coaching then, which, you know, he looks fine. No signs of slowing down. But what do you think the odds are that Alabama makes the trip to Morgantown with Coach Saban as the head coach?
I think the odds are pretty good unless, you know, with as long as they're winning, as long as they're recruiting at this level, he is in great shape. He's in great shape for a man that's 30 years old, and he's 66, 67. And again, he has never coached a team as a head coach at West Virginia. And I think that would mean a lot to him. But again, there's a bigger picture here, Tate, that schools like Alabama have been hearing from their fan bases. Like, if you will look at the Alabama schedules moving forward, they still, like, they play Duke in Atlanta next year to open the season. I think they play Miami in these neutral site games. But starting with those 2022 and 2023, they're moving these big non-conference games to home and home. They got a home and home with Texas in 22 and 23. They got a home and home with Notre Dame in 28 and 29. And as I talk to people around the conference, you're going to see more of these home and homes because the fans want to go to these places, particularly places where they've never been. And so that's a story to keep your eye on as we're moving forward.
Well, you know, everybody, they usually are the trendsetter. So if they're doing it, it probably is a pretty safe bet that the others will follow, right? I mean, that's...
No doubt. And the challenge, and I've been talking to some people this week for our column I'm doing, the challenge as attendance in college football, it's going down. It's not a dramatic, but there's every year you look up and there's a 2% drop in attendance, a 1.5% drop in attendance. And people tell me one of the reasons is that the schedules, you know, you play, let's take the SEC. You play the same six teams in your division every year. And you rotate the other two. Well, there's not a whole lot of, unless you schedule good non-conference games, there's not a whole lot of variety on that season ticket package. So I think the athletic director, I don't think, I know, the athletic directors have started to hear this, and they're saying, you know what, we gotta juice up these season ticket packages.
Tony, as always, I've enjoyed our time. Thanks for letting me sit in for this time with you. Coach will be back next week, but as always, great information. Stay dry. Have a great weekend, brother.
All right, you too, Tate. Take care.
Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Again, he will be back for the full hour next week. Cutting off a little bit early today at 10:30 due to coverage of University of Tennessee basketball. So we will go through 10:30. We will be right back with Omar Mance, Trevecca men's basketball, former Vanderbilt assistant, also LSU, former LSU and Rice basketball player. Great guy. Got some great things going on at Trevecca. We'll be back with him. And then the final two segments, first two segments of the 10 o'clock hour will be Billy the Legend Jesta. We'll be right back. Omar Mance, Trevecca men's basketball, right here on Forklift System Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Same Mid-South Business Furniture, brand spanking new location to better serve our customers. 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13 is our new home, and right now, great deals with savings of up to 70% on all excess desks, chairs, filing cabinets, etc. Visit us on the web at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com or stop by 1830 Airline Drive, Suite 13, and take advantage of our great deals.
Mid-South Business Furniture, Mid-South Business Business Furniture Mid-South. Business Furniture Mid.
Are you ready to start building your dream home? Make the process simpler with Wilson Bank and Trust, where construction loans are one of our specialties. We'll start with a competitive rate and terms that fit your needs. You'll work with a friendly, knowledgeable lender, and when the time comes, we'll make an easy transition to permanent financing when you move into your brand new home. It's easier to buy, build, or renovate with Wilson Bank and Trust in your corner. Come see us at offices all over Middle Tennessee or at wilsonbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or Mid10FordTrucks.com. That's Mid10FordTrucks.com.
104.5 The Zone, Nashville's home for the NCAA Tournament. Monday night, it's the K-State Wildcats and Kansas Jayhawks. Coverage begins Monday night at 8 on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back to Forklift System Sports Saturday. The coach is out today. Tate Matthews filling in for him, as we mentioned, if you're just now tuning in. Signing off at 10:30 today due to University of Tennessee basketball pregame coverage. Billy the Legend Justice will join us from 10 to 10:30. But before that, we've got Coach Omar Mance, Trevecca men's basketball head coach, Trojan basketball coach. Coach O, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Tate?
I'm doing well, buddy. I appreciate you joining us. Game day, last home game day of the year for the Trevecca men's basketball team. A lot of exciting things going on over there. I want to talk about that, and then we're gonna switch gears. You're gonna put on your SEC men's basketball analyst hat, Vanderbilt, really to focus on. But anyways, you had experience coaching there. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to talk about Trevecca first. First year as head coach, came in from your alma mater at Rice University, where you served as an assistant last year. Before that, you were on Coach Bryce Drew's staff for his first season at Vanderbilt, a former SEC player at LSU, and then transferred from there and then played at Rice. But first year as a head coach at Trevecca, we've got our last home game of the year today at 4:15 over at Trevecca versus Davis and Elkins University. A lot of exciting things going on over there. Had two wins for the season. We're building, right? And had our third win Thursday. I got to see it. It's a great environment. Talk about all the exciting things going on right now at Trevecca.
Yeah, Trevecca has been awesome. Me and my wife love Nashville, and so for me to get back here and to finally be a head coach is a true blessing. So this year, Dave Mark Elliott, our athletic director, former Vandy basketball player and baseball player, really had a vision to transform Trevecca basketball, and part of that was hiring me and bringing me in here to change it up and take it to another level. So what's been really cool is we've recruited locally. We got our starters from CPA, Innsworth, Brentwood High, Clarksville, signed a young man from Blackman. So locally, the interest and excitement for Trevecca is off the charts. We've done some things to our arena, our experience with the hospitality room, food and TVs, and we travel different. As a Division II team, I played D1 my entire life as a coach. I know being in Nashville, being able to travel different was something important, so we actually fly to all our road games. We're on Southwest flight 50 minutes to all of our games, whether it's Ohio, Michigan, or West Virginia, and then we're back not missing class. So it's been really cool this first 9 months. We focus on the experience being different, but also Christian scholar athlete, academic excellence, and also character excellence.
Coach O, and by the way, for those listening, that's what you go by, Omar Mance, but it's Coach O, right? Players, everybody. But the really yeah. cool thing about that is that you mentioned the flying. That doesn't happen anywhere else in D2. The kids are not missing class, but the coolest thing about it is when you got that done, the women's team fly with you all as well. For those of us that have kids that age going into it or that played at that level, that's unheard of. It's very cool. And I think it's another a sign of what's going on there. I know you listen to this show. I do, obviously. And you hear Dad and Tony Barnhart talking all the time about all the time. It seems like every week. If any successful coach in any program anywhere, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the support of your administration, it's going to be hard to be really, really successful. And so you mentioned your athletic director, Mark Elliott. One, shout out to him for having the vision to hire you. But two, like you said, the things that he's giving you, he's allowing you to go and hire a staff. We've worked it out to where we can fly now. I can't imagine what that's like when you all are recruiting against schools, even maybe a little bit bigger than you. But you've got a very good athletic director who gets it and is making sure that you have the tools that you need, right? I mean, that is a big, big part of it, and I know you're really proud to work for him.
Yeah, that's in coaching. You want to work for somebody you respect, but also who believes in him. Mark Elliott went out on a limb and tried to get, you know, a guy who's been Division I his entire career, who was aspiring to be a head coach at the Division I level, and he said, you know what, Trevecca has an opportunity for their basketball program. We're like the football of our university. We don't have football. So for us, we are the main sport, and he wanted to transform it and take it to another level. We're the only Division II team in Nashville. You got some great programs in Middle and the Vandy, Lipscomb, Belmont, TSU. But we're the only one, and there's no reason for us not to take it to another level, and that's what we started to do. So it's really cool to see.
You mentioned that, and two things, I think. One, I've heard you talk about it. I've heard you talk to groups, and you believe, Coach Elliott believes, that there is room to have a, hey, that doesn't mean that we can't still be Vanderbilt and UT fans, Predator fans, whatever. There's room. And there's a market for this, and you know, you're friends with, obviously you coach with Coach Drew, you're friends with Coach Alexander at Lipscomb, and Coach Bird at Belmont, and those guys. Reese Chamberlain, if he's not a Belmont Hall of Famer, he will be. He's one of your assistant coaches, but and I know he believes it too. There's room for this, and it's an exciting time with everything that's going on over there. So, closing on that. Last home game. There's a reason why you guys are there, right? So, last home game of the year today at 4:15 at Trevecca at Moores Fieldhouse, right? Moores Maniacs. If you're looking for something to do, you'd love to have them out. And the other thing is, a lot of people talk about, I want to recruit local. Well, like you mentioned, all you have to do is look at your roster and look at who you're signing for next year. You all are not just talking about it. You are recruiting and signing local. This will be a local team, and we're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what the local programs, if you're not attuned to what's going on in the mid-state, you know, when we got here 3 years ago with Bryce Drew, we saw that this community is booming in basketball and football, obviously. But it is becoming a hot spot for talent. And Lipscomb, look at their roster. I mean, think about Garrison Matthews, think about all those guys. Obviously, Sandy with Darius. You think about Belmont, their roster. Reese Chamberlain, who's on our staff, you mentioned, who went to four NCAA tournaments with Rick Bird, who's a legend. They recruit local. There's nowhere to go. We might as well just stay around here and get some great talent. So building it from within, and like you said, Mark Elliott, Dan Boone, the president, the vision of Trevecca is to do something super special, because there is a market for small college basketball that hasn't been tapped into, and we're excited to do it.
Coach, you're from Atlanta. You were a three-time All-State player, the 1998 Metro Atlanta AAA Player of the Year. Went to LSU, which a lot of SEC fans that listen to the show, played for John Brady. He had a couple of pretty good assistants on that staff. What was that lead assistant guy's name?
Some guy named Kermit Davis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So talk a little bit about it. So you went to LSU and then transferred to Rice, finished up there. But so you played in the SEC. As we mentioned, you coached for Coach Drew his first year at Vanderbilt. So I want you to kind of, we're switching gears, put your analyst hat on. Vanderbilt's 9-17, obviously 0-13 in the conference, having a rough year. They got Alabama today at 5 p.m. Coach Drew's a great coach, knows what he's doing, he's going to get this fixed. But obviously this is a frustrating time right now from being with him and also being in those situations. They got Alabama today at 5. What do you think Coach Drew's message to his team is?
Yeah, no, that's funny you bring it up. Growing up in Atlanta, played for my dad, went to LSU, Kermit Davis, Donnie Tindall on the staff, learned a ton, building, you know, a great program. They ended up going to Elite Eight right after I was there. And so I know the SEC well, a group of SEC guys. And when I was at Vandy, you know, we got the job, and Kevin Stallings did a great job. And obviously they wanted to kind of go to the next level. We got here, and you try to build it from scratch and do it different, obviously. And that first year was awesome, going to the tournament with Luke Cornett and those guys. I don't think people understand when you're behind the scenes. Number one, he's an amazing guy. Bryce Drew, his staff, Roger Powell, Jake Diebler, those guys are phenomenal. Casey Shaw, those guys are unbelievable men. So for them, they're about transforming lives more than anything else. But the biggest key is that he's a winner. I mean, Bryce Drew played in the NBA. He's drafted. You know, he had to prove that he could do it his entire life. So he's got a mentality that he's going to prove it. And the first thing we did was get Darius Garland and his family on campus 3 years ago. And that was because everyone told us you can't get him. No one's ever got the guy. And so not only as a coach and someone who's intentional about winning, his goal was to do something that had never been done before. So you think about a three-year mindset to get Darius and transform this program, and then boom, in a blink of an eye, 3 years of preparation done. And so I think it just took a while for them to just get past that shock. And now they're competing, playing hard, they're doing it the right way. So for him, the message is, you know, you guys are all in the SEC, and you're here for a reason. We're past, you know, obviously one of the best recruits in the history of the school. It's an opportunity for these guys to finish strong and do something special because, again, just like him and his background, nobody believed in him. No one thought he was good enough. And I think these guys are at that place where they have nothing to lose other than to prove that this is why they're here.
Coach O, you played at LSU. Will Wade is down there, and what they're doing down there, he's a young guy like you. You're a little bit younger, but young guy like you, doing a great job down there. You played there. That job is a, you know, for whatever reason, there's been times when they have and times when they haven't. But I know guys like you really think that is that can be one of the top jobs in the country, and he's doing a really good job there. But what do you think ceiling is for LSU under Coach Wade?
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I know Will Wade for a very long time when he first got hired by Shaka Smart at BCU a long time ago, and he is a phenomenal recruiter. And the one thing LSU's always had is players. And we joke in the business of recruiting, you got to get some dudes. If LSU has had some players, and so when you can get a guy who can continue to recruit at that level, but also who's really good as an XFL tactician, LSU is a hidden gem. And the main reason that you guys talk about SEC football, that place is is a bucket list football place to go. And because football is so strong there, and this is a kind of a cool story, Ryan Clark, who's on ESPN, who played for the Steelers, we were freshmen together, staying in the same dorm, hunkering in a small SUV going to get pizza and wings on Saturday night. He redshirted and I was playing, and he obviously had a great career, but football is king. And so what happens is it kind of goes under the radar for so long that basketball kind of gets overlooked, but that is a sleeping giant, and Will Wade's done a great job, and it's, they're always going to have talent.
So as long as he's there and keeps building it, this thing could be, it can end up being a Final Four job.
Yeah, it definitely can. And, you know, I think about it. In the SEC, if you can make a run and you have consistency, think about the teams that have been to the Final Four, from Mississippi State going there with that squad to all of the different teams, to Arkansas winning a championship. LSU's been to a Final Four with John Brady. Like, if you just have consistency in coaching and recruiting, the SEC has the talent always to make a Final Four run. And this year it looks like they could be two teams going the way Kentucky and Tennessee have been playing.
Obviously, here locally, we got to see Kermit Davis as the head coach at Middle for years. What do you think about him early on? How it's going at Ole Miss? I know you have a ton of respect for him, but early reviews on Kerm at Ole Miss.
I've known Kermit Davis since I was 17 years old, and what people don't understand with his family, his children, he is an unbelievable father, great guy. He is one of the best X&O coaches I've ever seen in my life. he is phenomenal. And I know a lot of high major schools right now are kicking themselves for not taking a chance on him over the last 3 to 4 years. And Ole Miss did, and what he's doing is expected. You know, he's going to recruit, but the biggest thing is he's going to have those guys playing hard. And so I don't want, if they get in the tournament, you know, you got to watch out. He knows how to win games in the NCAA tournament. He knows how to coach, and this is kind of his curtain call because he's done this for a really long time. It's exciting to see him with the resources, the facilities, what Kirby Davis can do. And so it's kind of cool to see.
Without a doubt. Coach O, hey, man, I'm glad we did this. Great information. Everybody knows you, you know, enthusiasm, passion. All you got to do is talk to you, you feel it. So real quick, anybody who wants to, hey, this Trevecca basketball, I'm going to give this a try. Let's see what Coach O is talking about. Again, it's at 4:15, right? You got all kinds of, you want it to be a fan-friendly experience, yep. And that's what y'all have done. But last home game today, 4:15 at your place. You'd love to have any and everybody, right? And then we'll definitely be talking going into next season and hopefully looking at a great tournament run.
Absolutely. Come on out to a great basketball game. The rain has stopped here pretty soon. I'll see some good small college basketball, and obviously we're going to do something special.
Hey, buddy, have a great weekend. Good luck today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Coach Omar Mance at Trevecca Nazarene University men's basketball. He's special. Get out there and see a game when you can. I promise you, you're going to like the product that he's building. Speaking of good products, we've got Don King of the TWRA. Mr. King, TWRA, obviously fishing season. We're getting ramped up for it. What does all this rain mean that we've had this week?
You know, what it means to me is that I'm probably going to stay in and take care of my fishing equipment, make sure my boat's ready to go for the upcoming season. But, some people will tell you that it's just going to make for a better fishing season all the way around. And, you know, I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking of that bluebird day in a day or two when we're going to be able to wake up and get outside and go bank fishing or whatever. But I did want to let everybody know that, you know, if you haven't fished in a while, that there are some great opportunities around here. Of course, there's the Percy Priest and the Old Hickories, and there's a lot of bank fishing and pier fishing opportunities that TWRA has put in place out there. But there are also what we call family fishing lakes. There's one just north of town called Marrowbone Lake. There's one over on the west side of town, or east side of town, Bedford County Lake, of course, in Bedford County. And then there are Williamsport Lakes right directly south of us, just near Columbia. And those are great opportunities. You don't have to have a lot of, you can buy your tackle and your bait there. There are concessionaires that will take care of you there. There's a daily fee to fish on those properties, but it's well worth it. Very, very affordable. Great place to take your kids, the grandkids. They have paddle craft available, some boats you can paddle around the lake in, or plenty of bank fishing opportunities. They supply the life jackets for you, and very important there. You can buy your fishing license there. And, the new licenses have gone on sale already. They go into effect March 1st. And along with all that, there are boating classes going on around the state. So if you need that, if you were born after 1989, you need that to operate a motor on Tennessee waters. So be sure and take care of that before the season starts. You can find out all of that and more at dnwildlife.org.
Mr. King, I appreciate it. Stay dry, and Coach will be back next week, but have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, and same to you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Don King with the TWRA. All right, we'll be back next hour, next two segments, Billy the Legend Justice talking NCAA basketball right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo!
yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, it's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
I love my community. And as a doting dad...
Daddy's home!
A devoted son...
There you are, Joe!
Good neighbor...
Hey, man!
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Welcome in to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Tate Matthews filling in for the coach. Want to remind you, 10:30, signing off at 10:30 today for Vol basketball coverage, pregame coverage right here. But before that, we've got Mr. Bill Justice to catch us up on all of the NCAA, UT. Give us a little scouting report of the UT game today. But Mr. Justice, good morning.
Hello, Tate. Good to be with you. Coming off the bench for the coach. And before we get into it, first let me say congratulations are in order. Coach Rick Byrd, his 800th win versus Eastern Illinois. I've known him my whole life. I knew his dad very well as a journal reporter in Knoxville when I was growing up. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and congratulate Coach Rick Byrd.
The thing I was assuming you would, but I was if not, I was going to. The thing I think is pretty neat about it, 99-58 win over Eastern Illinois. You've known him forever. The thing that I think is cool, people that listen to this show, of course, I've heard it my whole life. You know, one of the things that Dad always says about Coach Bryant was he was willing to change with the times, right? And it seems to me, and I would love to know your opinion, Coach Byrd, I don't think 20 years ago he was winning games with 99 points, but he seems like a guy who has he's won a lot of different ways. Is that fair?
Absolutely, and I think that's what defines a great coach, his personnel changes. He's had certainly great players in the past, and his team has worked out some at the same fitness center where I go, and they are big. I mean, when they walk in, it's no different than seeing an SEC team. He's got size. He's always lived with great shooters. You can bet his team is going to stretch the defense because they're going to shoot a lot of three-pointers, and he is a guy who has the perfect attitude to do things the right way as a college coach. He's very outspoken about that. He has other things that he loves to do, so it's not like he lives in the gym all the time. He expects his players to, but he takes a little time off to play golf and a little tennis as well. So a well-rounded guy and certainly a great basketball coach.
800th win. There's five coaches active over that, which – when you see that and you think about 800 wins and then you look at Coach K with 1,123, it's just, it's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Coach K is a guy that's been in it, and he's been in a top-level program where you can win. To give you an idea of his, you know, I played against Coach K in the NIT in New York City my senior year. He was playing for Bob Knight's Army team when our team played them in the NIT in New York City. So I also have a relationship with him that goes back a ways.
Boeheim, 944, Williams, 863, Huggins, 855. I wouldn't have. When you said, hey, guess the other ones that are over 800, that would not have been my guess. And then I saw something, you'll know, I saw a separate article that said Cliff Ellis, who's now at Coastal Carolina, that he has over 800. Is that correct?
I would not have known that. No, yeah. That certainly would not have been a name on my list. The first thing you look for is guys with tenure. You don't win 800 games in 20 seasons. You got to be around a long time. So you look at tenure, you look at the success of programs, and those programs are successful for a lot of reasons. A lot of it's historic in the case of some of the ACC schools and certainly the University of Kentucky. But a lot of them are great because of the coach who's been there a long time.
Well, and I don't know. A lot of them say it, but when you saw his comments and his interviews – A lot of them say the right things, but maybe it's for the camera. No more humble head coach. There's no more humble man on this list than Rick Byrd.
He will say every time, it's not the coach, it's the players, that he's been blessed to have good players who adapt to what he's telling them. Very, very modest guy, and that's him. He's not putting that on. That's just who he is.
Big game today for the Vols, and I know people want to hear from you about that, but before, let's talk about the Duke-UNC game earlier this week, 88-72 UNC, Shoegate, Zion Gate, but bottom line is North Carolina came out and played really, really well. Obviously, Tennessee fans, that game was something very high on their radar. But anyways, talk about the North Carolina-Duke game. What does that do when the new rankings come out, do you think, and what does that do for Tennessee?
Well, one of the things that I would say there, Tate, is that with that accident happening, you know, within the first minute of the game, certainly the Duke players and their freshmen, this is their first time together, they're just starting to play together as teams, they had to be in shock the rest of the night. I mean, North Carolina beat them badly. I mean, it was a 20-point game. I don't think that happens if Zion Williamson doesn't go down that early. I think his team played in shock the rest of the way. Neither team shot the ball real well that night. It was just a case where they couldn't come back. Zion Williamson, by the way, is day-to-day. He will not play today against Syracuse. They are going to take caution and sit him out at least one more game. A lot of controversy on whether he's coming back or just going to go pro. He says he will definitely be back to play for Duke University. And he is day-to-day. I expect he'll be playing next week. Syracuse, on the other hand, this game has such an interest because Jim Boeheim was in that accident earlier this week. Very unfortunate. But he has said he will be coaching today. He will be coming forth and going ahead with his team. So both sides had some issues to overcome going into this game.
You mentioned the Zion coming back. There's so much of that, which, you know, you have to talk about it, but you know, and you've seen strong opinions on both sides. Where do you sit on that?
Oh, I think he wants to play, and I think he ought to come back. I think it was a freak injury. I don't think there's any case that. Well, I had some people who kind of laughingly said there's not any shoe that could hold up for this guy. I mean, you know, we're not building things for guys that are 6'8" and 300 pounds that can do the things and be as explosive as he is. So, you know, somebody said, you know, he'd have to wear a combat boot to keep from tearing him up. So. Anyway, that's just kind of the light side of it. But, you know, I think he'll come back. I think he still wants to play college basketball. He went there for a reason. Freak accident, nothing to protect. I don't think he's going to take anything away. Plus, I think he wants to prove he's back 100% to the people so that he will indeed be the number one draft pick going into the NBA draft after this year. I don't think he wants the people to say, well, I wonder if he's fully well yet. No, he wants to prove he is.
I tell you what I do. I know they can't do it because of the contracts, but I would go get one of the, because I've seen one. They need to go get one of the old Reebok pumps that Shaq wore. And if Shaq could wear it, then I'd say he could probably wear it. But I that thing was almost a combat boot. So maybe, yeah. Maybe that's what they ought to do. Maybe they can let him sign a waiver. All right. Hey, and I know we want to talk about the LSU game, but before that, go back because it's, you know, this time last week, the game had not been played yet. Kentucky lost for the Vols 69-86 on Saturday. They bounced back Tuesday with a 58-46 win over Vandy. Wasn't pretty. I saw where it was the Tennessee and Vandy both posted their lowest point totals of the season. I know you were at the Vandy game here. What do you take from the Vanderbilt game this week if you're a UT fan?
Well, let's go back to Kentucky because I was at that game as well. And in a summation there real quickly, Rick Byrd came in and he simply said, look, no excuses. Kentucky was by far the better team tonight. They outplayed us in every way. They had a great game plan to use a pack line defense and make us try to beat them from the outside. We couldn't do it. We didn't make shots. Then Tennessee comes back and plays Vanderbilt as a double-digit favorite. Certainly expecting to win by big points. For some reason, that seems to bring, well, there is a reason. If we bring out, we being Tennessee, brings out the best in Vanderbilt, no matter where it is. I sat with Coach Matthews at the Vanderbilt game here in Nashville and watched them take it right down to the line, and Tennessee had to go overtime to win that game. So, no surprise there, although Tennessee has said their players coming forth more so than Coach Barnes, but they have said publicly and on the air that they have not played well the last two games. This is not what they expect. They haven't lived up to their own expectations. And when you have those expectations by yourself, forgetting what people think as a team, you're going to get better. They're going to need all of that today. LSU is a tremendous challenge. They've climbed up to be in the top 20 now, ranked about 13. They've got size. They've got experience. They've got the one point guard in the league that might be able to outrun Jordan Bone and Tremont Waters. They've got very good size. This is a tremendous test. Tennessee goes to LSU. If they can get this win, they're back on track.
I did not see the Vanderbilt game. I know you watched it. The thing that jumped out to me, obviously the game you talked about here, everybody knows Grant Williams, 23 for 23 from the foul line. I saw where he only had one free throw attempt Tuesday night. So was that more about the Vols? Was that more about what Vanderbilt's game plan, scouting report, whatever, the referees? What do you take from that?
I wouldn't think anything about it on referees. They get way too much blame, probably way too much credit. I think they do a good job. No, that was just one of those nights where Tennessee was able to feed him inside, and he drew a lot of fouls. And, you know, we go up to Kentucky, and they shut that down. They shut that down completely. They got back quickly, and they did not allow Tennessee to beat them inside. They forced Tennessee to shoot the ball from the perimeter. It was an excellent strategy on the part of Coach Cal, and it worked because Tennessee couldn't make shots that day. So, you know, he didn't even get attempts. I thought he'd get four attempts against them. So you've got to be able to rely on those two guys. That will be a main focus today for LSU because they're big inside. They can match Tennessee's size, and in terms of height, maybe not width, but in terms of height, they can overcome any height that Tennessee has inside. Kyle Alexander has got to stay out of foul trouble. The last two or three games, he's gotten two fouls and had to sit 10, 15 minutes in the first half. Without him, Fulkerson comes in and does a good job, but a shot blocker, a rebounder, a rim protector, Kyle Alexander is very needed by Tennessee.
Mr. Justice, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the LSU game and then maybe the national picture when we come back from this break, okay?
Okay, that's good.
We'll be right back with Billy the Legend Justice right here on Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the 3 area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay coinsurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescriptions. Prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhealthplans.com.
This February, it's all about the love from Walker Chevrolet. For over 90 years, Walker Chevrolet has been making customers number one. Walker Chevrolet has the all-new Silverado LT starting at $39,752. If you love SUVs, Walker Chevrolet is your Cupid. 2019 Equinox starting at $23,145. At Walker Chevrolet, it's all about the love they have for their customers. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 and walkerchevrolet.com. 2019 Silverado stock number KC110941. Equinox offer stock number KL201689.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug talks college basketball with Bill Justice, presented by IntelliTurf of Nashville, online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Welcome back to Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Coach Matthews out of town. Tate Matthews filling in for him today, but we have Bill Justice with us for one more segment, signing off at 10:30 for Vol men's basketball coverage. Mr. Justice, LSU today, noon at LSU, 21-5, 11-2 in the conference. They fell to Florida Wednesday night, 77-82 in overtime, playing really well, as you talked about. LSU, what kind of place is that like to play? One of the tougher places to go on the road. Obviously, they're talented, but what do you expect from the Vols today?
Well, I think the LSU environment is terrific. They've got a great reputation in terms of playing there in football, but in basketball is the same way. They have got a great fan base, and certainly they are now behind this team. But very much the same thing we've seen at Tennessee. Right now, the home games at Tennessee have got an atmosphere that they haven't had in since Bruce Pearl was there probably 10 years ago. LSU is that way with this team this year. They've fallen in love with them. It will be a tough environment. Tennessee likes those. They're experienced. All of their guys have been there for at least 3 years that have playing time. So they've played in a lot of tough road trips before where there's never been a louder, more responsive crowd than there was in Lexington, Kentucky, and that came to me from their fans. They said, we're always good, but this one has been extraordinary. They had never seen anything like it. So Tennessee's had this before. They'll be ready for it.
So they have LSU today. Again, tough game. At Ole Miss on the 27th, Coach Davis, Kermit Davis, doing a great job down there. And then Kentucky at home on 3-2, Mississippi State 3-5 at home, and then Auburn on the road 3-9. Five tough games there. LSU, they cannot afford to overlook, I wouldn't think, right? Do you worry about them overlooking LSU or Ole Miss for this Kentucky game?
No, I do not. I do not. I think these players are zoned in on a particular game that's ahead of them. Again, with that experience, they don't rattle in that way. The other thing that they have said to themselves, and I know inside they've said it because I've heard them, they want to prove that they should have been ranked number one, and they say right up front, the way we played the last two games, we wouldn't deserve that kind of ranking. We want to get back and get our passion back and get our performance level back where we need it. So this will be a tough one, and you look around the SEC, Auburn's got the same thing. They're at Kentucky today. I'm real anxious to see if Coach Calipari does that pack line defense against Auburn. My guess is he will not, that he will move his defenders out more to guard the three-point line since Auburn likes to shoot those that much. South Carolina at Mississippi State. South Carolina in national pictures not getting a whole lot, but they're 9-4 in the SEC. They're still a team that right now would get a bid to the NCAA. Nationally, no question about, you've got lots of nice games today. I'd mentioned Duke and Syracuse for the two questions there. Florida State's at North Carolina. North Carolina coming off the big win at Duke. Those are two ranked teams. Kansas threatening to not win that league this year for the first time in, 15, 18 years at Texas Tech. That'll be a tough game for them. And not today, but tomorrow, as big a rivalry as there is in all of college sports, Michigan State and Michigan, 10-7, Tom Izzo and John Boeheim. That's a great one to look forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, that's always a fun one to watch. So this week, going into this week, number one, Duke, number two, Gonzaga, three, Virginia, four, Kentucky, five, Tennessee, six, Nevada, which I always love stories like that. Obviously, as you mentioned, Duke falls to North Carolina. So what do you think happens with the top five, considering Tennessee and Kentucky, Virginia, Gonzaga, they all win this weekend?
Duke's probably going to drop out, and, like it or not, Gonzaga might take over number one. My question there for Mark Few and his team is, what kind of schedule do they have? I mean, what's their strength of schedule? Are they taking that into consideration? If I was going to jump somebody, it would be Virginia, Tony Bennett's team. They're not pretty to watch. They are slow. They're very physical. They play to their pace, and they are able to do that against any opponent. They're not going to be a team that's going to score in the 90s, but they're very efficient, 22-2. So with Duke's loss, I would jump Virginia probably to number one. I wouldn't have any problem at all, especially if Kentucky wins today, next week, seeing them move up to number two.
Where do you see the Vols?
Tennessee's got to win today. If they do, they stay top five, and probably they may move up one. I don't know that Duke's going to drop that many, especially when you find out that, you know, Zion is going to be back probably next week. So you drop them maybe a game or two. They're still a great basketball team with tons of talent. So I don't know if Tennessee moves up a whole lot. I think what they're doing, they don't worry about this ranking. They know right now that they've got a game today that's crucial to them for where they will be in the postseason. I don't expect Tennessee to go through the rest of this season without another loss. I think their schedule is too tough. And as tough as that is, you go right straight into the SEC tournament, which is here, and certainly there's going to be a lot of challenges there. So Tennessee, I think, will view today's game as a very important game against a ranked team on the road. This is when they need.
You mentioned that they've said the players, they haven't liked the way they played the last 2 weeks, the last two games. But when you see Barnes, quote, he said he did like the way they played defensively against Vanderbilt, which holding them to 46 points, which was their season low. So, you know, when you're going into today, an experienced team, obviously got to get the offense going back. How does he approach it doing that today?
Let me tell you, the other thing Rick Barnes said, and this has been proven, when they came back from the Vanderbilt game and when they came back from Kentucky, the gym lights were on at night. His guys have been in the gym working on things, and they've done it almost as a team. You can't keep Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield out of there. They live there. But the rest of the team has been there. They're coaching themselves. This is a team, again, that is experienced enough to where they know where they have failed. They know where they haven't played well. They know that against Kentucky they didn't push the ball down the floor. They were too slow in getting their offense in motion. This is a team that loves to run, and LSU's going to love to run with them because they've got a point guard that can match Bone's speed. So I think you're going to see Tennessee try to get down the floor. They've been a team that scores in the 80s, and that's what they want to do. In addition, they want to try to stop people from getting 80 on them. So I think they'll push the ball again today and try to get the pace going.
They're all going to have to play well, but what one player would you say is the key to today's game? Who do they need to really play well today?
You know, you can always say that it's going to be Grant Williams and his inside play because, you know, he's 19-1 points a game. Admiral Schofield, so they've got two of the top scorers in the SEC, so they've got to get production out of those guys. And the perimeter guys have got to be able to make shots so that they take the pressure off of them inside. So it works both. They've got to have both games, inside and out. The two guys inside have got to get their points and keep the LSU team from coming out on the guards outside, and those guys got to make shots.
It's going to be a fun game. I don't know. Do you do predictions?
No, I do hope. I hope Tennessee wins.
All right. And what about Kentucky-Auburn?
I think Kentucky wins that game. I think Kentucky right now is playing the best of anybody in the league. They face a little bit of a downslide here because I think Reed Travis is out for a game or two, maybe more than that. In fact, the last report I heard was that he might not be back until the SEC tournament. They do expect him back. He's the rock for them. You know, they still have the beautiful freshmen, four of them that are great players, but he is a transfer senior graduate student, and he brings a real settling in addition to being a very physical, tough inside player, provides senior leadership to him. So if he's not playing, I'm sure he'll encourage him from the bench, but they'll miss him on the floor.
Mr. Justice, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Coach will be back tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be with him, so enjoy your Saturday.
I will be with him. You did a great job coming off the bench. He better get back. He may lose his job and have to be a sub for you from now on. Good job.
Coming from you, that means a lot. Have a great day.
Thanks.
That's it for today. Vol coverage is next. Coach will be back on Big Orange Sunday tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Have a great weekend.